Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, bringing you opinion, commentary on today's economic and political events. Some of the issues we'll be discussing today, well, first we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. She'll be joining us for the first segment of the program, Thursday, December 12th, 2013. A lot of great information today, but first let's get to the market report. We have gold today trading down so much for our little comeback yesterday, 1227 for gold today. Silver's down 76 cents at 1964. Platinum down 19 bucks at 1370, along with palladium down 17 at $722. Reasons for it? Well, look to Wall Street and Washington for those reasons. USDX today, the U.S. dollar trading higher. That's one reason, 0.32 at 80.21. Crude oil pretty much was down $97.45. Paper markets today, they were down triple digits. Let's see where they ended up at or ended down. Down 103, and again, you know, concern over the timing, the Fed's tapering, and it just makes you wonder. The Dow is down 103.90 at 15,739. NASDAQ was down 5 points at 39.98, breaking four, and the S&P down 6 at 17.75. Had a nice little uptick in the 10-year yield today, 2.88. percent on the 10-year yield. So we'll be following that here in the next couple of days. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody. Another big day. Dollar's up a little bit on the U.S. dollar index. Most of the rest of it is down. Not everything, but most of the rest of it is down. And I don't know if there's a correlation or if, just more white noise.
Absolutely. Well, before we get into that, Al, we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. She's here with us today. We always appreciate her being here each and every Thursday. And,
hello, Wendy.
Hello, Al. Hello, Melody. Guess what we're going to talk about today?
Wait a second. Let me put my Carnac the Magnificent. Hat on and guess that it's going to be the internet is changing the landscape of healthcare. Is that at all close?
That's very close. Very good.
It's either that or it has something to do with a flea-infested yak. But no, I guess we're going to do Internet is changing the landscape of healthcare.
It is. Americans are really searching for answers to their healthcare problems online. And also the Princeton Survey Research Associates International, they did one too. They found that people are going online with regards to their health problems. And this is really, as the healthcare industry changes quickly, folks are compensating and they're adjusting as, you know, the healthcare industry is changing. So according to these surveys, a lot of health information, it remains one of the most important subjects people are searching online. You know, I would think it would be music and entertainment, but not according to this research. People are searching out, you know, what ails them.
Depends on how old they are. Young people are looking for music and entertainment. The older people are looking for inexpensive medical assistance.
Well, that's not true, according to the survey. This was pretty much across the board, starting from 18 years and up. People are actually plugging in their symptoms to look for treatment options, and they are searching for, you know, the medications they may be recommended by their doctors, so researching that. And also they are searching other topics like health and pregnancy, food safety, and also drug safety is on the list as well. For instance, let's say, Al, you're at your doctor's office and you got some chest congestion. Well, if you have an iPhone, a smartphone, you can check the drug side effects of the prescription you were just handed to you by your doctor. So you can get on your smartphone and you can just see what, you know, the side effects are the drugs that your doctor wants you to take for this condition. And one such young man did just that while he was still at his doctor's office. So before the pharmacist filled his prescription, he found out that the drug his doctor recommended that he take for bronchitis was doxycycline hyclate, which is a drug that is used for acute acne conditions, malaria, for bacterial infections. But it can also turn your teeth irreversibly gray. So he marched right back into his doctor's office, and he asked for something else. And so this technology is making consumers very savvy out there.
Do they have an app that will tell you who you can sue and for how much?
No, I haven't seen that. That's
attached to the drug symptoms and consequences. It almost sounds like we're going to get close to that.
People are
going to understand, walk in the doctor, into the doctor's office, if he recommends something, threaten him with a lawsuit. I'm exaggerating, but...
Let me ask you a question, Wendy. Because of the access of the Internet and healthcare and people doing it on there, are we turning into a nation of hypochondriacs?
Is this being
pushed by the pharmaceutical companies and so forth?
No, they wouldn't push this.
No,
they want people ignorant. It makes them docile and easy to control. This is a big change, and this is an important change because it signals that people are becoming more independent and perhaps less trusting. And the doctor is going to say, "Well, here's your prescription." Somebody's going to read it on his phone and say, "No, it's not."
I'm talking about diagnosing yourself, you know, checking.
That's a good question, Melanie. Yeah, people are doing some self-diagnosing through the Internet. They're doing their homework.
Yeah.
They are doing their homework, though, and they're even running their research by their allopathic physicians or their other health professionals, their chiropractor, if you will. And they're coming up with pretty good ideas on how to minimize their health problems and, you know, to lower the impact of disease. Now, you were asking, Al, that about the younger generation. Actually, according to this research on these surveys, the 18 to 33-year-olds, 98% of them are searching healthcare issues online, either for themselves, for a friend, or a family member. So they also found out that the higher the education level, the higher this percentage of those looking for their healthcare answers on the Internet. Now, it's expected, they say, by the year 2030, 100% of us adults are going to be using the Internet. More men than women will use phones, and about 97% of the younger generation, the millennials, if you will, all have smartphones. So when folks are searching for help with the health, 77% they'll start their searching with a search engine, but 13% actually jump over to specific health sites like WebMD, for instance. So, okay. They're searching for specific diseases. They're searching for, their medical problem. They're searching for food safety, drug safety, and recalls. Caring for aging relatives is also a biggie, 15%, and also reducing healthcare costs is 11% of the searches that they're doing. So, and it's an interesting thing. You were asking about an app, but there is a default setting that a lot of these people have on their smartphones when they're answering or searching for health problems. Their default setting is, I don't know, but I can try to find out.
What do they mostly deal with? I'm going to assume they are searching for cures, remedies, whatever, for diseases that they have right now. But how often are people looking for prevention? Any indication on that?
Yeah, very few are looking for the prevention. These people are kind of reactionary right now, but I think the prevention part will kick in. There are some health sites now charging for the health information, about 2% of them, but 83% of those that are looking online will not pay, whereas 2% will, and the other 83% will look for the answer for free somewhere else. But they are looking and asking questions of health professionals and allopathic medicine. They're also seeking out other professionals like acupuncturists and chiropractors. And they're looking for even group support, Al, with the same health problem. They're running ideas by people who have tried certain things. So they are doing a lot of self-diagnosing because I think you're right. A lot of them aren't just trusting or don't have the money anymore to throw at the healthcare industry as we have come to know it.
Then, yeah, I agree. I understand that. I mean, if they can eliminate the doctor from the equation, or at least minimize his presence, all of a sudden prescriptions become a little more affordable. Now, in most instances, the doctor has to give you a prescription, even if you know what your disease is. You've got to go to a doctor to get a prescription. But there have been instances where people are buying drugs across the border in Canada or Mexico.
Right.
And I'm not sure how much of that is going on and how much has been restricted and how much is being tolerated, but it's probably impossible to stop.
And that's even that's even happening in veterinarian medicine because the products for your pets are just as expensive as, blood pressure meds now. So people are shopping in other countries for, their flea and tick stuff,
So what do you think the American Medical Association has to say about this?
Well, I know they're kind of cracking down. They're looking for restrictive ways to kind of corral folks. But according to Kathy Wong, she's a natural ND, she says alternative health care is actually becoming more popular in the U.S. She says about 36% of the adults are seeking alternative treatments like acupuncture, chiropractic, and other therapies that don't require a practitioner. For things like for better diets, exercise, your vitamins, your herbal products, that kind of thing. But some really interesting data, Al, was off the alternativemedicineabout.com site, which shows that more people are seeking natural protocols for healthcare, and they're mostly female, they're of a higher education bracket, and which they've recently been hospitalized or they quit smoking in the last year. So it's one of these things where, they got the wake-up call, and now they're looking for a way to reverse the problem, not just, manage the disease.
You were talking about, as a consequence of access to the Internet, the AMA is concerned that people will not require practitioners, meaning doctors, I believe, in order to, you won't have to hire a doctor. You can go sit at the computer and figure this out for yourself. And a lot of people can.
Yep.
That's the reality of it. I'm sure that websites can be designed where you pretty much go through it, and you can look through a list of symptoms, and you can say, odds are, here's a 70% probability, this is what your problem is. They can't say exactly, but they can give you a high level of probability. So the question is, are the people looking to avoid the practitioners, or are they looking to avoid the costs, the current costs of insurance?
I think
how is this
going to
impact Obamacare?
Yeah, I think it's a little of everything, actually, but because according to the survey, 64% of the people searching online have chronic conditions, and 53% have more than one chronic condition. And we're talking about, you know, heart disease and blood pressure and diabetes and cancer and that COPD, you know, lung condition. So people are, I think, just noticing that they're not getting better. They may be holding the status quo, but they're not getting better. And medicine isn't about you getting better. It's about managing your so I think people are just tired of being sick, and they're looking for something that will actually offer them relief. And so 59% of them are saying allopathic medicine and allopathic professionals aren't giving me relief. And they're also looking for sites. Let's say you have cancer, Al. They're looking for sites that's a kind of a one-stop, you know, information stop. So there are some websites out there and even some publications that will have multiple options that are natural therapies that you can consider for your problem, like Ty Bollinger's website, CancerTruthChronicles.com, and his books that he's written. So people are looking for, you know, almost like, you know, like you like to go to the store and you want one stop, you want to get everything you need in one stop. Well, they're trying to find that now with their health problems.
I'd say, and it also reflects the fact, it's not just technology in the sense that people are perhaps a little bit fed up with American medicine. American medicine generally, as you say, it's principally a means of dispensing drugs, and you just keep taking the drug and keep taking the drug and keep taking the drug, and you can suppress your symptoms, but you never seem to get rid of the disease. People are looking for cures, and insofar as they're not getting them, you mentioned the example of people who have they have several different diseases at the same time. Well, it's got to cross their mind that they're not being cured.
Right.
They may be, they're being maintained, but they're not being cured, and they want to be cured, so of course they're going to come looking on the internet, and it's not just a reaction to new technology that is available. It's also something of a rejection to the existing medical, I don't know, technology as it has existed in this country for the last 20, 40 years.
Yeah, and
so we're seeing two things at the same time.
Yeah, and I think people are beginning to realize that just popping a pill isn't cutting it, and they're going to have to be proactive. They're actually going to have to put some effort in to reversing their problem, their situation they're in. So there aren't going to be any changes in your situation, in your condition, until you make some changes. So that means, you know, reevaluating that lifestyle that probably got you in that position in the first place. So I think people are becoming savvy consumers. I think they're biting the bullet. They're realizing the hardcore reality, and they're doing something about it.
Good thing, bad thing?
I think it's good. I think people, when they take control and become independently healthy, I think that is a positive thing.
Yeah, I think it's excellent, because ultimately it indicates that people are beginning to take responsibility for their own health.
Right.
Where a lot of people have simply sat back and said, oh, I got an insurance, I'll go see the doctor and he'll tell me what to do. They eat Twinkies, drink Ripple, do whatever it is they want to do, abuse their body, and let the doctor fix it with a pill. They're beginning to realize that's not the way it works. They're forced to become more responsible. We've got 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's sort of like when you get a new car and you buy that gap insurance in case you get total driving off the lot, you get everything back that you put in to the car loan. Well, there's gap in the gap insurance, and that's the same thing you're finding in allopathic medicine. It's not covering all the gaps. You got to do that yourself. They can call for a free product catalog if they want to check out some organ cleansing and immune boosting therapies at Apothecary Herbs. The toll-free number is 866-229-3663, or they can visit us online at thepowerherbs.com.
All right. Thank you, Wendy. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Have a good week.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Hey, we just want to tell the listeners the rest of the up until Christmas, we're going to continue this special. We'll adjust the prices if we see the prices go down. The Mint State 63 $20 gold piece, along with a free silver eagle and free shipping, is $15.44 today. And we also have the AU $5 Liberty, along with the free Silver Eagle and free shipping. That is also available today, but you need to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And remember, folks, any of you who have IRAs and you'd like to transfer those to a precious metals IRA, give us a call. We can help you do that. To where you can place gold and silver into your IRA. That is available, and I know a lot of folks now are adjusting their accounts, and, of course, we have taxes coming up pretty quick here in the next couple of months. So give us a call, 800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And so gold today is down. They hit it today, down 25. Wasn't so bad in early morning trading, but of course they came in and whacked it. They were able to get the USDX up today, and we'll have to see how it plays out. I think with low volume trading for the month, with the holidays and everything, I think you're just going to see it fluctuate up and down throughout the rest of the month. They're great buying opportunities, folks. Fundamentals are still there, Al.
Well, I know the fundamentals are always there. What do you do? It's one of those things you talk about. Gold got whacked. We have weed whackers in this world, and apparently the Federal Reserve and/or the government has a gold whacker. and just go through every once in a while and knock the gold down. But we talked about this yesterday. There's an article from Ron Herrera, and I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but essentially arguing that the price of gold has to be suppressed in order to keep issuing fiat currency. And it's, again, I'll get to the article over the weekend probably. It'll probably work out, be Monday or Tuesday next week before we talk about it more in depth. But it's evidence that what we see, it's just more evidence that what we see in terms of the price of gold, not an accident, not a free market price, it's the price of paper gold. It's the price that's been manipulated. It's the price that's been intentionally suppressed to allow the Federal Reserve to continue to pump more and more and more fiat currency into the U.S. and global economies and get away with it without causing significant inflation. And I'm not sure that was one of the conclusions or one of the assertions that's in this report by Ron Herrera, but I'm not quite sure what the logic of that is just yet. If it's, how is it that they can continue to pump that paper money into the economy and not cause significant inflation? It's as if they're saying if gold's suppressed, we don't have evidence of significant inflation, but we still have the cause for significant inflation. I mean, the currency, the extra currency is there. What's happening to it? Why isn't it causing more inflation? That's an intriguing question, and maybe that the forces of deflation are growing and perhaps, you know, large enough to keep the forces of inflation at bay. There's always two things are always happening at the same time. There's always some inflation, there's always some deflation. All right? But the question is which one is predominant at any particular time. Some products, the prices are always going up. Some products, the prices are going down. There's evidence of deflation. There's evidence of inflation. But which is predominant? Mostly inflation, mostly deflation? You would think that we'd see more inflation given the amount of money that the Fed has allegedly injected into the economy. And we'll look for an explanation. It's just one of the mysteries. So what do you do in a period when you are surrounded by mysteries? And it's difficult to see what's happening from moment to moment. Why is this happening? What do you do when you are confronted by these mysteries? Well, you have to do more research, that's for sure. You've got to keep your eyes open and your mind has got to be open to see, okay, what is the problem? Let's see if I can identify that problem and figure out what it is. But until you do, what are you going to rely on? Fundamentals. You got to go back to the fundamentals. You got to go back to what you do know. All right? Well, we know a couple of things. Fiat currency, everyone they've ever tried has died within 70 years or less. All right? Fiat currency doesn't work, doesn't last. It's a great high. It's a lot of fun for a while, and then all of a sudden there's a terrible hangover. And thus we are approaching the hangover stage of the fiat currency. But do we get there this year, next year, you know, 5 years from now? We don't yet know for sure, but it looks like it's going to be close. That's one of the fundamentals, fiat currency. And it's one of the things we're really betting on when you invest in gold. You're not in betting on gold per se. You're betting against the fiat dollar. That's the reason you invest in gold. You sit back and you look at it and say, wait a second. The national debt is too great to ever be repaid. That can't be good. There's got to be a problem there. It means something's going to happen in the system that's going to be catastrophic for people holding paper debt instruments. We can't give you timing on it for a fact, but we can still say, look, you know, I can see the avalanche is rolling down the mountain. All right, it's not here at our village yet, but the avalanche is rolling down the mountain. It's started. It's not here. When does it get here? We don't know. But it's another one of those fundamentals. And then there's the fundamental that gold has been revered as a fundamental form of money for 3,000 years, maybe more. Another fundamental. So you make your bet on that basis. And there may be other fundamentals to look at. I don't know if you can. Do you think of anything else, Melody, that people should take into consideration?
Well, I think that the true fundamental is gold is viewed as a currency. It has
money.
No, it
not
has
a
no
money.
Money.
It, money.
There's no debt against it. There's no debt against it, and as long as we have a fiat currency, we're going to have continued inflation. Whether they say we don't have it today and we don't have it tomorrow, it's going to increase over a period of time. That's a fact. It isn't going to change. So we're going to have continued inflation based on the fiat currency that we have. Without a currency being backed by gold, there's no accountability. There's no restrictions applied to the growth of Washington. So these things are going to happen. It'll just continue to grow and grow and grow until the whole system collapses under its own weight. Now, whether something, everything that we experience, everything that we see, I mean, you can listen to newsletter writer, video after video, expert after expert, and it all comes back to the same thing. All these things that are happening, they're just symptoms of the fiat currency. Yes. It's just not happening here. It's happening around the world. There is a struggle going on. You can call it whatever you want. They tagged it currency wars. And I've said that a long time ago. Everybody's positioning themselves. You have countries that are positioning themselves because they know the end game. People don't know the end game. They might think they know the end game, but they don't do anything about the end game. And so the fundamentals for gold, it all comes back to the fiat currency, inflation, hedging yourself, beating yourself, protecting your purchasing power, and they haven't changed. And until they address the fiat currency situation, until they address that monetary policy, gold is the only thing out there to hedge yourself. So.
You know, you talk about end game, and people need to look at the end game. And it's not just a question of understanding what the end game is or likely to be. It's more fundamental in the sense that you need to have a long-term perspective if you're going to invest. If you're doing things on a day-to-day basis, if you are buying or selling stock on a day-to-day, hour-to-hour basis, you're just speculating, you're just gambling, you're not investing. You need to have a long-term perspective in order to be an effective investor. Because otherwise, if you have a short-term perspective, you run and hide. Every time something starts to fall, you sell out and go look for something better. And when that starts to fall, you sell that and go out. And it's exactly contrary. The short-term perspective is what causes people to sell when prices are low and buy when prices are high. It's that long-term mentality. Take the super rich, and they're trying to put things together that will help provide for their grandchildren. And it's part of the reason, that mindset is part of the reason they have become super rich. They think in terms of generations. Average American thinks in terms of his weekly paycheck. And as long as you're caught in that weekly mentality, you're not going to save much. You're not likely to prosper. You've got to take that longer-term view and think not in terms of what's going to happen next week or even next month. You've got to think, what's going to happen next year? What's going to happen 5 years from now? And it's not easily done. It's easily said. It's not easily done. Because it's hard to justify. It's hard to sit back and say, I'm going to save my money now because I see something that's going to happen 5 years from now. Most people are going to look at you and think you're silly. They're going to say, what are you talking about? They're having a sale. They're having a sale over at Walmart. Are you crazy? Get to Walmart. They're having a sale today, and tomorrow they're having one at Target and, you know, one store after another. Spend it now. That's the way most people think, and that's why most people are going to be in a lot of trouble. If you're going to survive long-term and maintain some significant wealth, you got to figure out a way of thinking, not about what's up tomorrow, what's up next week. No, what's up a year from now? That's a big step. That changes you so much. Just a year changes you so much from the majority of the American people. If you can think in terms of 5 years or 20 years, you get that mentality, it will put you in a position where you can become wealthy. It won't happen overnight, but odds are it'll happen. In the 1 year, you'll be better off a year from now, 5 years, 20 years from now. If you can think that way, it can help you. It can help your family if you're going to do, you know, You're going to be a now person and just invest, or excuse me, speculate on whatever the latest sale is on stocks, bonds, gold, whatever else. Just, it's not the right mentality. So,
no, it really isn't. And you talk about long term, Al. I mean, this has been going on for how long? First, you know, actually, it all started when they took us off the gold standard. That's when we saw inflation really creep into the system in the 50s. I remember reading articles from the Post, I believe, where housewives were complaining because the price of meat was increasing from, you know, 10 cents a pound to 50 cents a pound. They were having a fit. Now it costs you $10 a pound. And these things are not going to change. This is long term until something happens and they're forced to change. And if you wait until that time comes, it's going to be too late for you. And there was a question in about the low gold manipulated price. Was it designed to panic people into selling their gold cheap?
Sure.
I that's part of it.
Yeah.
But it certainly did damper people's view of gold.
Yeah.
I don't think it was meant for them to sell their gold. I think it was meant to prevent them from buying gold. And of course, again, we look at why they want low gold prices. Say that three times fast. Is because they can't have high dollar, high stock markets. You can't have a good economy with high gold prices.
You can have a good economy. You can have a real and solid and stable economy with high gold prices if you have gold for money. All right.
Correct.
What gold does is it creates a problem for this de facto economy that's based on this fiat currency, which is essentially an illusion.
Right.
You know, the reality of gold stands in opposition to the illusion of fiat currency. And the two cannot easily coexist. So, you know, one or the other is going to perish, and it won't be gold.
And you know what's interesting? I even had one of my buyers call me a couple days ago. He says, you know, Melody, he says, if you told me what was going on 5 years ago when all this happened, 2008, and we're here today, and all the problems that we have with the health care, with everything else that we didn't even have in 2008.
Yeah.
And we have these gold prices and the lack of interest in gold, I would have said you were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I can't believe, and this is industry-wide, that, you know, there's interest, but not the interest that should be going on.
It's not proportional to the problem we're facing.
It's crazy. And when you have that type of craziness, folks, I guarantee you, it's going to change at the drop of a pin. It's going to happen so quick. And I do believe that is the way it's going to unfold. Is that drop of the pin tomorrow? I don't know. Is it next week, next month, next year? I don't know. But we're closer every day.
Yeah.
And it could happen.
Well, you know, we talk about the economy the way it has become global. We're no longer dealing with a national economy so much as a global economy. And the whole globe is tangled up in this fiat monetary system, and it's significant because if something happens in a peculiar place like Cyprus, it can almost be enough to tip the whole world on its ear. Huh? It may be that the masters of the universe in Washington, D.C. can hold this thing together in Washington, D.C. Maybe. I don't think they can, but you know, they may be able to hold this together for who knows how much longer. But it may also be that something's going to happen in a foreign country that is unexpected, uncontrolled, and the consequences, again, we've got that domino effect, and we're going to be part of that domino effect because we are ensnared in a global economy. And if one guy screws up, we're all in big trouble. I'm Alfred Adisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. And I guess we can start this next segment with, here's an article from the Washington Examiner. And the headline is, IRS Employee Union, We Don't Want Obamacare. Like most other federal workers, IRS employees currently get their health insurance through the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program, which also covers members of Congress. The National Treasury Employees Union represents 150,000 federal employees, including nearly 100,000 IRS workers. National Treasury Employees Union is encouraging their members to write to Congress to say they don't want to be part of Obamacare. Now, it says IRS agents, of course, will collect data and apply penalties to those who fail with Obamacare. However, despite the fact that IRS employees have a prominent role in Obamacare, their union wants no part of the law. The story goes on. It talks about how there's a congressman, Dave Camp. He's offered a bill. He wants Congress, which is now exempt, and its staff. He wants them under Obamacare. He wants everybody under Obamacare or nobody under Obamacare. In fact, a Camp spokeswoman said, Camp has long believed every American ought to be exempt from the law, which is why he supports full repeal. Well, it's all just another evidence, you know, of how nutty this government is, how crazy the system is, how unstable the system is. The government wants, people in government, they don't want Obamacare. They got a good, cushy deal going. They've got a great health care program, paid for in substantial measure by all the chumps out there in TV land, otherwise known as taxpayers. Hell of a deal for government. They don't want Obamacare. Obamacare is for the peons, the chumps, the taxpayers, but not for the government. That's the Now, for the moment, the government is in there. Is subject to Obamacare, with the exception of Congress and its staff, if I understand correctly. But even Congress and its staff, this is just wrong. And it's wrong to exempt Congress. It's wrong to exempt the staff, because it distances them from the American people. It puts them out of touch with the problems that the American people face. You know, if you don't have to pay for Obamacare and you're getting adequate health care and things are going good for you, what do you care about Obamacare? No reason to change it if it's not affecting you. And insofar as the Congress and their staff will not be affected by Obamacare, they can sit back and say, well, you know what, that sounds good to me. Good program for all the chumps. All the chumps. We the chumps. We get Obamacare. And the government, you know, at least up at the congressional level, they won't. And here's the IRS. They say, we don't want it either. So it'll be interesting. We'll have IRS agents eventually knocking on your door and threatening you with fines and penalties if you don't have Obamacare, even though they don't need to have Obamacare if they get their way. It's another sign of the times. It's another reason you look at it and you say, look, this cannot continue. You can only be irrational up to a point before somebody sends you to the mental health facility. We can all be a little goofy from time to time. That's okay. But if you're goofy a lot of the time, somebody's going to say, you need a tune-up. Our government and our nation is much the same. You can't play the fool forever and get away with it. No matter how rich you once were, no matter how powerful you once were, you can't use that as a justification forever. It inevitably degrades your wealth, degrades your power, your prosperity. The whole thing goes down the pipe. Obamacare is just another example, another illustration. What else, Melody?
Well, you know, we've been talking about Bitcoin and, you know, the what it really is, and should people, you know, people want to know if they should get involved in it and so forth. And, you know, most folks know our view on it and so forth. And there are beginning to, I guess the town of Kentucky is beginning to pay the police chief.
Mm-hmm. In Bitcoins.
In Bitcoins.
Yep. In fact, there's a report I've seen by email. This one is coming from a credible source. There's no question. You can look this up. The town of Vicko, V-I-C-C-O, Kentucky. You can check this out. Just type Vicko, Kentucky into into your Google browser, and it'll come up, and they'll say they're paying their help in bitcoins. It'll be one of the stories you'll find, and this appears to be absolutely legitimate. They're going to pay the police chief in bitcoins, and they're going to make them available to the rest of the people working for the government there at Vicko, Kentucky. Now, Vicko is not, Los Angeles, California, or Chicago, Illinois. Vicko's, you know, undoubtedly a small community. But there is another email that impossible to verify, but it claims there are 36 other towns that have done much the same. They're starting to pay their help with bitcoins. They're getting away from dollars. It says, well, the Bitcoin users, Bitcoin allows users to securely pay for goods and services with near total anonymity. I'm reading from the article. Now, near total anonymity, it's just interesting. A police officer being paid in a currency that has near total anonymity. That almost sounds like a bribe to me. You know, it's kind of money that you take in brown paper bags under the table, and nobody can prove it. Actually, you can. It's not total anonymity, but it's a lot of anonymity. And it says, all the while avoiding the regulations and restrictions often imposed by state-controlled currencies such as the dollar. Now, that's in this article. And they're right. And it's a story similar to the one that Wendy had earlier in the program, where she was talking about people are beginning to take more responsibility for their own health care. They are trying to get away, I don't know that it's a conscious motivation, but regardless, they are trying to get away from a drug industry and a medical industry that is perhaps over-regulated by government, over-controlled, over-restricted, where you can't really get cures, you can only get treatments for your symptoms. They're trying to get away from that. And here we have people trying to get away from the regulations and restrictions on state-controlled currencies such as the dollar. They're doing the same thing. These are leaves in the breeze. This is not a massive trend just yet. But it is, but they are leaves in the breeze, and they show us which way the wind is blowing, at least at the moment, and they suggest that people are starting to back off from big government. Not everybody, but some people. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good trend. I hope it continues. We've got a caller, Melody, Les from Michigan.
Yes, we do. Hello, Les.
Hi. Hi, Melody. Hi, Al.
So, how you doing?
I called in a couple months ago, and when you were talking about writing up the questions for the health care, and I heard Melody say yesterday or a couple days ago that she never got a return, you know, from her letter. Well, it was about 6 weeks ago I sent my letter in. I just got a copy from her. She was nice enough to send it to me, and she adjusted it for mine. And I sent it certified mail, you know, with return receipt on it and everything. And it got delivered supposedly on the 6th of November. And according to the computer, I don't have a computer myself, but we checked it on a friend. And I was wondering why I never got the return receipt thing on it. Well, 2 days ago, the mailman came back to my house and gave it back to me. It was like,
what do you mean he gave it back to you? He gave you the whole letter or just the green card?
The whole letter with the return receipt hooked onto it and everything.
Did he refund your money?
Well, oh, no, I haven't been down to the post office yet. They were going,
you understand my point. If I pay somebody to deliver something and they say, okay, it's going to cost you $15, assuming I'm sending her $17,
well, no,
I think.
What it says is that the insurance company didn't accept it.
Well, I get that.
Basically, it probably sat there for over a month, and then they somehow put it back in the letter carrier's hand and told him to send it back to me because they wanted me to sign for it to get it back.
You know, just like
when
we
found out. I don't know how they maneuvered that, but they did.
I sent a return receipt. I sent a series of questions to the IRS back. Oh, I think it would be about 2009, maybe 10. I don't recall clearly. I sent a series of questions to the IRS by registered mail, green card, the rest of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
IRS got the questions, right? But the green card disappeared, and this was important because the green card is admissible evidence in court. It could not have disappeared without the complicity of the post office. They were in on it. The IRS got the letter. Because they responded to it later on, but they made the green card disappear in the post office. They have tracking. They couldn't tell me what happened. The government is very wary. If you send something by registered mail, they expect this guy's going to sue us. And so they don't want to take it.
Well, I just called in about an hour ago to this Blue Cross and Blue Shield. And they made me stay on the line for about 10 minutes. But they were supposed to call me back. I had a 17-minute wait, and that was about an hour ago. And I haven't heard a thing from them because they want you to type in your card number before, you know, they proceed, whatever. So I don't think I will hear from them the rest of the day, neither.
Now,
Obama, you know, he said, okay, you can do that. And the governor here said, yeah, you can do that. So the insurance company has decided themselves to break this contract with me. They didn't have to do it, but they did it. So that gives me grounds, like, basically to sue for breach of contract, doesn't it?
Well, they're going to argue. I can't, you know, you understand that I can't give you legal advice because I'm not a licensed attorney.
Yeah, I know. Just give me a theory.
You understand. So I got to do that dance. I got to do that dance before I give you a personal opinion. Can you sue them? I'm not absolutely certain. They're going to argue that because of Obamacare, the law has changed and the law compels them to reject your previous contract. But again, there's a section of the Constitution says you can't impair. Yeah. They can't pass laws that impair the obligation of contracts. They do, but they're not supposed to.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
I guess I'm really upset about this. You know, and what's my next move? You probably just go to maybe a local attorney and see what they say.
It would cost you a fortune.
Well, it depends on how much.
That's how they wanted to keep you from doing this, but.
Yeah, I know. There's no easy answer for any of this because we are coming into, we are increasingly in a police state for one thing. We've
lawless,
all seen
yeah,
that everybody listening gets that. The whole legal system is up for grabs. It's becoming unstable. Obamacare is unstable. Government's unstable. This is just another one of those leaves in the breeze we were talking about earlier in the program. It's the one of the leaves you're seeing right now, and it's moving in the same direction, and it suggests the system is unstable, and it may not survive, you know, from now until the end of time. It may be that the end is coming near, or at least some sort of significant change. I don't believe you and I and Melody are the only three people who see it. I don't think we're the only ones who sense it. When do we hit critical mass? I don't know, but we keep getting closer. You know? And what do you do?
Sure.
What do you do? What do you do to protect yourself, Les?
I don't know. I feel like taking some sort of legal action. They shouldn't be able to get away with this. Because
yeah,
I
understand.
For one thing, Al, too, you know, they knew they were going to dump all these people last
year.
Yes, they
did.
Or so, and they waited until just a couple months before that. So you know, in my case, I needed a hernia operation. And I was putting it off because I believed you're going to be able to keep your health care thing, you know. And now when they tell you that you're so close to the end, you can't get in to have it done.
You know
now that is fraud, and that's wrong.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. The reason you send those questions in response to their notice creates your right of inquiry. This is this is what my research indicates. You have to take it all with a grain of salt, but we've seen evidence that this may be correct, that they create your right of inquiry, meaning you have an opportunity to ask questions. If they don't answer your questions, they are denying you procedural due process. Now, is that something you can sue them for? I don't know. I know it works as a defense if they're suing you, but is it a basis for suing them? And that's not something I know or understand.
Yeah,
but we're going to see more of this, and someone is going to figure it out, Les, and there's going to be more trouble on this. This Obamacare is not merely going to make a smooth transition. There's going to be some serious trouble before this is done.
There should be a giant class action, you know, with all the millions of people, you know, against this fraud.
That's what they call, that's what elections are. Les, that's what an election is. It's a giant class action.
No, we want to put people in jail and take their money, not just unelect them.
Well, I understand, but it crosses my mind that that's also a giant class action. I tell you what, though, Les, we have to thank you for your call.
Yep.
We're going to be back tomorrow. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. I want to thank all of you for listening. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Les, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.